WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
My guest is filmmaker Stephen Frears. His film Prick Up Your Ears is getting a lot of attention. It's about the life and violent death of English playwright Joe Orton. The film is adapted from John Lahr's 1978 biography of Joe Orton and Orton's own diaries. 20 years ago, Orton was bludgeoned to death by his lover, Kenneth Halliwell. Halliwell then killed himself. When Orton died at the age of 34, his two full-length plays had become hits on the London stage. His plays were comedies that satirized the English middle class. Theatergoers were probably unaware of Orton's own unconventional sexuality. At the time, homosexuality was outlawed in England. Stephen Frears is no stranger to films about outsiders. His popular film, My Beautiful Laundrette, is about people who are out of the mainstream because they're poor, foreign-born, or gay. I asked Stephen Frears why he thought the story of Joe Orton would make an interesting film.
He wasn't in the heroic mold, so it wasn't he wasn't a sort of James Dean figure at all. He didn't drive fast cars or anything like that. But he did live his own life, and it was an odd life. When the Sex Pistols became famous in England in 1976 or whatever it was, there was a T-shirt that was made in the shop where they came from. And they had a list of people they liked and people they didn't like. And Joe Orton was on the list of people they liked. Well, they can't have seen his plays. And I shouldn't think they knew a great deal about his life. The diaries, I think, hadn't been published then. But he'd somehow worked his way into the mythology of the young, as though he was someone who didn't conform, who lived his own life, and was sort of prepared, I mean, for the violence of his end.
The relationship between Joe Orton and his longtime lover, Kenneth Halliwell, ends in a murder-suicide.
Yes.
Some viewers will see Prick Up Your Ears as a cautionary tale about the price of promiscuity and decadence. Is that an accurate reading of your movie?
Well, it isn't. It is true that they die at the end of it, and Joe's life was very promiscuous. It's not at all the reading that I'm interested in, of course, because I find the relationship much more sympathetic than that and much more complex than that. And in fact, since in the film we parallel a conventional heterosexual marriage with with their relationship, of course we would say that we're trying to say things about all couples.
What did you do to really get that inside understanding?
I'd grown up in the world in London where I knew a lot of the people that Joe was involved with, and I'd seen people who were involved in the theatre and in living gay lives, and their lives seemed remarkably similar to mine. And so I really used the experience I had and a sort of rather commonsensical approach to it all.
In some films with gay characters, there's no sex on screen. It's left, quote, tastefully off screen. In your film, well, in Prick Up Your Ears, there's no frontal nudity, but there's passionate and juicy tongue kissing,
yes,
and there's some crotch rubbing. Did you think of yourself as brave putting that in the film?
No, not at all. It seemed to me that I neither wish to make a pornographic film or an explicit film, but equally, if you'd made a coy film, it would have been sort of silly, wouldn't it? So you'd do it as sensibly and as gracefully as you can. And my position is absolutely the same as anyone in the audience, of not wanting to be embarrassed or attacked, but wanting to understand the relationship. And at all the scenes in the film that involve sex, there's always something else going on, whether it's excitement, whether they're going to be caught by the police, whether it's something else going on. So you didn't have to dwell on the obvious. You wouldn't want to be sentimental, and you wouldn't want to be exploitative. It's not made from an outside point of view. It's trying to understand it from the inside.
When you were auditioning for the movie, did you have to explain to the actors that they'd have to have, the two main male actors, that they'd be involved in kissing scenes? I'm thinking in America, a lot of actors have been afraid to be associated with gay roles for fear that the public would think that they're gay. Hollywood has just always been afraid, yeah, of homosexuality.
Yes. Since I was dealing with public material, I mean, the actors involved knew what was, you know, they knew what they were letting themselves in for. And I said, look, I cast both the boys on the same day. And I said, look, you have to play these scenes and they're not going to go away, or they're not going to, you know, we have to do them properly. And they said, yes, we quite understand. And I said, you know, and they liked each other. And, you know, I mean, they were both very, very sensible about it.
The casting in the movie is quite extraordinary. Americans know Gary Oldman through his performance as Sid Vicious. Yeah. You know, a drugged-out punk rocker. And that performance is so different than the self-confident, mocking playwright in Prick Up Your Ears. To me, he was just unrecognizable. What did you see in him that made you realize he would be right for the role of Joe Orton?
Well, he has got a rather chameleon-like quality, and he's actually a rather sort of pale, elusive fellow as a, you know, in real life. He's a very, very good actor. And the things you describe, that sort of mocking sexiness, he'd got all that. He had plenty of that. He was sharp and angry and all of those things. It wasn't very difficult to cast him. The man who plays Halliwell was a greater sort of leap.
Yeah, Alfred Molina, who plays Orton's lover, Kenneth Halliwell, is terrific as the dejected, self-conscious, insecure lover who's jealous of Orton's talent and his acclaim.
Yes.
Now, how did you cast him?
Well, he's a very vulnerable man, Fred, and he looks rather extraordinary. And he is a very, very good actor. I think it was... I mean, largely these things are instinctive. Certain things about him made me believe in the character. I mean, Halliwell was a very grotesque figure. I mean, he lost all his hair. He was very, very embarrassing. He used to make an absolute fool of himself in public places. And Fred is a rather conspicuous figure because he's so tall and large. And I imagine quite vulnerable about his appearance in many respects.
You had to, in the direction, bring out a certain grotesqueness in Molina's face. And I was thinking that here's this man who's probably quite striking and really pretty attractive. But because of all the self-hatred that's in the character, the actor starts to look unattractive and kind of grotesque.
Well, if you shave someone's head, they look pretty dreadful. It doesn't help. But he's actually a very attractive man, yes.
Is it ever hard work to make an actor seem unattractive like that, or do they ever resist
Well,
you?
He knew that that was part of the job. I mean, he's a very sympathetic actor. And since we were trying to make the film with sympathy for that character, I suppose it's quite sensible to cast somebody who is actually a very, very lovable man. But he's much too serious an actor, much too disciplined an actor. I mean, he knew that the character was very unattractive, and he went out of his way to play that side of it. He wasn't at all afraid of it.
Prick Up Your Ears is the second film that you've done that has gay characters in it. Do audiences assume that, therefore, you must be gay?
No, I don't think anybody assumes that. I think they're more perplexed. I mean, I've got dozens of children. I mean, it's true that that means anything, but... I've never been asked the question, really, but I don't think anybody thinks I am.
Do you think a film like this would be riskier for a gay director because then they'd be typecast in a way as doing movies about gays?
I don't know. Somebody asked me that the other day, and I don't actually see why. I mean, after all, gay directors make films about straight people, so I don't quite see why a gay director couldn't have made this film. There is a sort of myth that you should cast straight actors to play gay parts, but I don't quite see why it would follow, and I imagine there's plenty of instances that would break that rule.
In Prick Up Your Ears, Joe Orton accepts an award and says that his plays are about characters who are getting away with it, and that he's been getting away with it for years.
Yes, I have a very strong sense of that.
It's the innocents who get it in the neck. But that all seems pretty true to life to me, not a fantasy at all. I've got away with it so far, and I'm going to go on.
Now, you've been making, at least for the movies we've seen in America, you've been making pretty personal, eccentric movies in a time of creeping homogeneity.
Yes.
In film, do you feel like you've been getting away?
Very, very much so. It's very odd. A journalist asked me that the other day. He said, times are supposed to be very bad now. Why is there such goodwill towards this film? I can't explain it. I mean, they are very eccentric films. And I've always made rather eccentric films. I've no idea. I do feel very much that I've been getting away with murder. And someone said to me one day, a policeman will knock on my door and say, you can't go on making films like these.
Stephen Frears' new film is Prick Up Your Ears. Just before Joe Orton died, he completed the first draft of a movie commissioned by the Beatles. The screenplay was discovered in 1985, and the rights were bought by theater producer Joe Papp. He plans to bring a musical adaptation to Broadway next year.